Certainly good to see each and one of you this evening. Obviously, we have a number that's out, and that's weighing on our minds. We hope that everybody will be okay and recover and all that. Hopefully, you had a good afternoon. It's a privilege that we have to assemble and worship God. We should never take that for granted. For a little bit tonight, I'd like to look at one of the more popular parables in the scriptures, arguably maybe the most popular parable, and that's the parable of the Good Samaritan. And I had a lesson kind of planned, but this afternoon I thought I'm just going to switch it. Because I just think there's an opportunity right now at Holly Street like no other opportunity we've had in a long time. And, of course, it's just ongoing, but it seems like the more people that are out, the more opportunities we have. So that's kind of prompted my the subject this evening. And as we see in Galatians 6 and verse 9, let us not grow weary of doing good. And that's something that we'll talk about as we go through. The Good Samaritan, there's been laws made, the Good Samaritan law. There's a lot of people understand, if you talk to them about religion, and they understand that the Good Samaritan is a very simple story, but there's so much that we can learn from this story. Sometimes if we just take and break it down even further, there's so much truth that comes out of the story, and we don't have time this evening to go over all that, but we have enough to maybe we can highlight what would be applicable to us today. So let's turn over to Luke chapter 10 and verses 25 through 37. And it reads, "And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And he said to him, 'What is written in the law? How do you read it?' And he answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live.' But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' And Jesus replied, 'A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay when I come back.' Now, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." A very simple story. You know, Jesus' teaching was simple, but it was profound. And Jesus' teaching oftentimes went right to the heart of the problem. And, of course, this lawyer stood up to test him. So let's kind of review here what we can just learn from the text. And behold, a lawyer stood up to what? Put him to test. Now that wasn't uncommon. We see throughout the New Testament, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Jews were constantly trying to test Jesus, trying to trap him. Now, what's interesting is he does say, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So this is pretty serious. He's talking about eternal life. So this isn't just some story that don't mean a whole lot. It's saying, what do I do to inherit eternal life? That's how serious this is. And it's interesting what Jesus says, and I often think back to when he was being tried by the devil, how he says, it is written. Jesus often said, what is written in the law? Refers them back to the law. And of course, this lawyer would know. And obviously, he knew who Jesus was, and he knew what laws they were at that time. And he goes on to say, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, as your neighbor as yourself, and your neighbor as yourself. Now, we understand if somebody was to ask us what's like some of the key verses in the scripture about life and what we should do. Well, this is more than one occasion that Jesus says this, and he kind of sums it all up, doesn't he, in our own life. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. What else is there? It's the whole body, the mind, the soul, the spirit. It's what we do, how we act. And of course, your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. Now the lawyer goes on. It's not enough that Jesus says that and the lawyer says, hey, I got it. We're going to move on. But he desiring to justify himself. Now, I didn't really study what he was trying to do to justify himself, but he probably said things like, well, I do this and I do that. And so Jesus decided, I'm going to make it a little more personable. And so he gets into the story. We won't go over that. But one of the things I want to point out, and it's something we're going to look at for a little bit tonight, he had compassion. He had compassion. And as we go through the lesson, say to yourself, do you have compassion? When's the last time you had compassion? When's the last time maybe an opportunity like this came your way and you had compassion? I want you to think about that tonight. And you know, there's something else in here that always kind of moves me. You know, he didn't just take the guy that got beat up, if you will, on the road and just take him to an inn and just drop him off and say, hey, you know, hope everything's okay. He says, and the next day he took out. So he stayed. He stayed. And the next day he took care of this guy. He went kind of the full, maybe sometimes we don't go the full distance. Maybe we just, you know, here's some money, take care of yourself. I don't know. There's just something there that kind of stands out to me. He took care of him. He said, hey, I'll pay when I come back. And again, this is Jesus telling this story. A lot of lessons here we could go into, but we're just not going to do it for time. Now, the road from Jerusalem to Jericho descended 3,500 feet over 17 miles. Now, I did a little bit of research on this road. It's a real road. I mean, when he was telling this story, he knew what he, you know, from Jerusalem to Jericho, this lawyer understood. This is a real life situation. And matter of fact, the road is kind of a shortcut, and from what I could research, it's known for robbers to be there. It's just kind of a dangerous place. And so obviously they all know this. But anyway, it was a well-traveled road, and we often think about having to drive somewhere, walk somewhere. That's what they lived. I mean, that was, you know, that's a whole other story there. But that they were put in danger for this type of thing. Now, I want you to notice and appreciate that the victim's condition is stressed by Jesus. Somebody might say, yeah, you know, we go back and it says that there was a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers. Jesus didn't say, it wasn't stressed by not his religion, education, wealth, physical appearance, or social level. He was a fellow human. and thus needed the help of man. Now, there's a lot of lessons right there, just in that little stating by Jesus. And we'll get into more of the details about how we can help people. But you know, as we have opportunity, this is kind of an important thing. Now, we may not be able to duplicate this exact scenario because, you know, we don't have, like, we're out on a trail, we're walking somewhere. I mean, that could happen if you're out hiking and things. But the point was, and we're going to see this, the Good Samaritan stopped and helped him. Now, more than likely, this fellow right here was a Jew. He was a Jew, coming from Jerusalem to Jericho. And if you do any research, and I was going to go into it, but I'm not going to, you study about the Samaritans, and you study about the angst, if you will, between the Samaritans and the Jews. Now, the Jews taught and treated the Samaritans like dirt, like dogs. So here we have somebody that sees this Jew and could have easily said, no. Matter of fact, he might even have known this guy. We don't know. And it says he stopped and he had compassion. What about us as we try to make application here? As we have opportunity, we'll talk about that a little more, making application. But if we found ourselves in a similar situation, let's just talk about an opportunity to help somebody. What hinders us? How about our prejudices? How about racism? How about the status of somebody? Who they are? What they look like? You know, this fellow was beat up really bad. It says he was half dead. If you had an opportunity, and this fellow was black, would you just walk on by? Well, he's black. Sometimes people will look at things and say, you know, he should have had better sense. He should have been traveling with somebody. We always have the what ifs and what could have been. And of course, they didn't have police back there as such. I don't know what they did for protection, but they didn't. What if this is a man or a woman or a young person or an old person? Or we process this stuff pretty quickly when we have an opportunity to help somebody. And we're being tested, just like this lawyer was being told this story. What about you? What about me? This is something that jumps out to me with the Good Samaritan. He didn't hesitate. He was a Samaritan. Here's a Jew. He needed help. And he took the opportunity to help him. Yeah, you know, Rob, if I see somebody that's needing help, and, you know, I know they're driving a nice car. Matter of fact, maybe somebody got in an accident in a Cadillac Escalade, and we think, oh, well, they can afford it. I'm not stopping and helping them. You know, we process this stuff. We need to check our attitude. And sometimes, and we'll talk about this a little later, and that is, we have to be prepared in our mind to do good works. We have to have some forethought. We have to be ready. Because what if, and we'll talk about this in a minute, but this Samaritan, he was ready. I'm sure his attitude was already, if I ever see something like this, and just help without even thinking twice about it, right? Well, there's three types of people. Of course, the robbers, and here's what they say. Everything you have is mine. I'll do whatever I need to do in order to get it. Now, we're not that type, but you know there's people that type today. Everything you have is mine, and I'll do whatever I need to do to get it. The priest and the Levite. everything I have is mine, and I'll do whatever I need to do to keep it. And of course, the Samaritan, everything I have is yours, and I'm willing to give all I have to meet, your needs. So let's talk a minute about the priest and the Levite. Now, what we know about the priest and the Levite, they were the religious elite under that Moses dispensation. And so Jesus is going up to the high ranks of people. He didn't just say, well, just a Jew was passing by. He wanted to get his point down. The priest and the Levite. And they just passed right on by. Now, of all people, they knew the law. And they knew as opportunities came their way, they needed to do something. How about us? We're supposed to be religious, and as opportunities come our way, I don't really have time. Let me jump ahead on a slide that I probably really got out of order, but we'll come back here. Now, which one of these are you? Now, we'll come back to this in a minute, but I want to show you something here. Now, some people might say, perhaps we're being too hard on the priest and Levite. After all, they were probably on their way to do important work. They had important work to do, no doubt. Also, this victim may have caused his own problems. And not being as alert as possible, it could be rationalized. You ever been around people that see something and they'll say things like this, and I short circuit. He should have known better. And to have this priest and Levite, you know, they're on their way. They're doing something. They're busy. What does he expect? They're busy. They got things to do. I was reading a little story online about the Good Samaritan. And it was a real case, I guess. The guy said he was going to services, and a motorcycle was in front, and something happened. And the guy ended up in a wreck right in front of him. And he says, well, do I stop and help him? I'm going to be late to services. Well, I don't know about you, but you know what? Why are we in this business anyway? Are we here just to punch a clock to go to services? I often think of going to Home Depot, kind of a side note, and you find a worker there and you say, hey, can you help me? And they said, well, I'm stocking the shelves. I can't help you right now. And I tell them, well, why are you stocking the shelves? You're stocking the shelves because of me being here as a customer. Same situation. Now, by the way, this guy said he stopped and he helped him. He felt good about it. But we're not being too hard on the priest and Levite, because you know what? Jesus wasn't. He told it like it was. And maybe perhaps some might say, these guys were super busy. And what about us? You have an opportunity to do good. You have an opportunity to help somebody as we make application. And a lot of these opportunities, they never come like, I'm just sitting around my house and I got lots of time. The phone rings and, oh yeah, I can help. I'm not doing anything. No, that's not usually how it works. You're usually doing something. But it's not that important, is it? If you say, let me drop what I'm doing, I'll come help you. They weren't doing anything that important that they couldn't stop and help. Now let's go back here. Requirements for serving the needs of others. Now, we're not going to read all these verses. But consciousness. Now, we see it in 31 and 33 there. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, just like the priest and the Levite, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. Just like that. He was ready mentally. I'm sure his attitude was already sitting there, ready to go. He had a consciousness, if you will, of the opportunity that was before him. We also see that he had compassion. He had compassion. He's looking at somebody else. He's thinking of others more important than himself. He's thinking, here's an opportunity, and I'm gonna jump in and help. Well, what about contact? What about contact? Well, we see there in verse 34, so he went to him and bandaged his wound, pouring oil and wine, and set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Now, you may not have as much contact with people if you're retired. I'm thinking maybe you're home more. I don't know. It doesn't really matter what your situation might be as opportunities come our way. But we see from these other scriptures that when we have contact, when we have interaction with our fellow man, and I often think of the saying that says something like that opportunity plus ability equals responsibility. Opportunity, ability equals responsibility. And really, that's what a lot of this lesson is about. Are we responsible? We often think about the physical needs, but what about the spiritual things? What about a husband to his wife? What about a mother and father to their daughter, to their grandchildren? As opportunity comes their way, maybe you need to say something about their spiritual condition. That's applying the rules of the good Samaritan, isn't it? How about just general care? General care. And how about cost? Now, this cost him some. But we don't read, I don't have the money to do good. I'm so poor, I can't see straight. Well, you can look in other scriptures. It says that we need to have so we can help others, doesn't it? And if you never have, you'll never help. You're going to reap what you sow. Well, I have this bill and that bill, and I'm so strapped, I just can't. I couldn't help anybody if I wanted to. Shame on you. Did the Samaritan say, you wait till I get paid, I got to walk right past this guy, I can't help him? Now, how far do we take this? Oh yeah, you just have to carry a stack of money in your car, Rob. And when you see these guys out there with a sign, need help, you just handing out dollar bills. No, we're not talking about that. We're not talking about that. We've got to think about how wise that would even be. Well, the next slide we've seen. Compassion for lost souls can be developed by what? Spending more time around people. We can't really be an isolationist, and probably none of us really are. And some might think, I don't want to spend time around anybody because I may end up having to help them. Well, what's the Christian attitude? Did the Samaritan say, I ain't going that road because chances are there's going to be somebody that got beat up by these robbers every time I go down that road? No, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. How about letting God teach us how to love and put into practice? How about pray to God for help and opportunities? Have you ever prayed to God, please let me see opportunities where I can do good? Or do we pray, I hope I don't see anything that really needs that's my responsibility. I just assume not get involved. I don't have time for this. No, we don't read that. By frequent contemplation of God's love for us, the more we love others. Our spiritual maturity and strength and pleasing to God is often found in what we do for other people. We don't think too highly of ourselves. We think about the cares of others before ourselves. And in this country, that's difficult. We have so much. And somebody might say, yep, you know what, Rob? I earned this money, and it's mine. You laying up treasures in heaven, or you laying them up on earth, where moth and rust taketh away? As we have opportunity, and we're thankful, God, we do. And I often wonder, will God bless us even more as we do more? We might say, boy, if I just made a little bit more money at work, I could do more to help others. That's a good attitude. It's a great attitude. Not that, well, if I had more money, I could just buy a nicer car, nicer this, nicer that. That's not what life's all about. That's not what life's all about. What does Galatians 6:10 say? As we have, therefore, opportunity, okay, opportunity, ability, equal responsibility, let us do good, who? Unto all men, and especially unto them who are the household of faith. We can't look down our nose at a non-Christian and say, I ain't helping that person, they ought to know better. I'm only helping Christians. That's not what I read. Unto all men, as we have opportunity. And think about, let's just say, the last few weeks, year, 6 months. And these are things that really bother me, because when there's an opportunity, it's right now, and that's the opportunity. You ever kind of hedge on something, maybe put it off, not sure what to do, and then the opportunity's gone? It's gone. Maybe it's saying something nice and good to somebody, something simple like that. And you think, well, I blew it. I didn't say anything. I didn't help somebody. They were kind of down on their luck. Look around us, all the people that are gone. What are we going to do this week? We're going to crawl into our little hole at home and say, I hope they do okay. We're all going to be held accountable. And that's the lesson for this evening. We got to stop and help people. Now, somebody might say, yeah, you know, Rob, when I'm sick, nobody calls me. So? So? Nobody ever sends me a card. Nobody ever gives me food. Nobody ever cares about me. Is that what Jesus said? Did he say the Good Samaritan said, hey, I've been in this situation and nobody helped me? No, that's not what it says. Let's read a section of verse and then make some quick application. Now, I don't know if you have your Bibles handy. I didn't put it up here. But in Matthew chapter 25, 31 through 46, this is a very humbling set of scriptures. Matthew chapter 25, we're all familiar with what this says. 31 through 46. Kind of an extended reading. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and all the nations will gather before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. This is Jesus speaking. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angel. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." In verse 46, "And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteousness into eternal life." When we stand before God in judgment, we'll probably think, man, it was so simple just to help somebody, to say an encouraging word, to maybe buy them a meal, maybe just be kind and considerate and have compassion. Or am I as the priest and the Levite, and I just walked on by? Well, we have to make application here. And what's our application? What are we teaching our grandkids and kids? You know, if our kids and our grandkids never see us do good works, they never see us helping people, they never see us doing good to people, they never hear us talking about, hey, let's go help this person or those things, what do we expect our children and our grandchildren to be? Yeah, I never seen mom and dad do anything like that. Oh, they got lots of money. You'd have to get a crowbar out of their wallet just to get $5 out, just to give to somebody. Let's not let that be us. There's so many lessons that are rich in this parable. So many lessons. But what about you? What about you? Make your own application. Check your own attitude. Say to yourself, am I the Good Samaritan or am I the priest and the Levite? Test yourself. Look for opportunities. You know, there's no doubt in my mind, opportunities come our way all the time. We just got to look for them. We can't keep our head down and buried and say, boy, I hope I don't see anything. No, that's not being responsible. As we close, the invitation is being extended. That's God's thoughtfulness for us to become a Christian. Or maybe you need the prayers of the congregation for some need. Maybe we're all wrapped up in ourselves. We're all wrapped up in what's in it for us. Pray to God that you'll change your attitude. We'll look at these scriptures as we did this evening and say, I'm going to do better. As opportunity comes my way, it might be cumbersome, it might be awkward. Sometimes, you know, I always talk about don't deny the giver. You might try to hand somebody money and they don't want it. I just tell them, don't deny the giver. If it's better to give than receive, and I'm giving you, you got to receive it with thankfulness. And maybe a lot of us, even men especially, oh, I don't need no help. You ever hear that from a man? I can do it myself. I don't need your help. That's a sign of weakness. No, it's not. Did that man on the road say, I'm half dead. Hey, just get away. I'll take care of myself. There's people like that. And I've seen videos, and this was in New York. Somebody's getting beat up, just pummeled, assaulted, whatever the case is. And there's people walking right by as it's happening. I think there's video of that. I'm thinking to myself, You're kidding me. These are Americans. These are people. And you're just walking by and this guy getting assaulted? Probably said, don't get any blood on me. No, that's not what we should be. But that's the selfishness of mankind that comes out all the time. Whatever the case may be, the invitation's yours as we stand and sing.